We're almost through the whole book of Romans. Now, through the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been explaining to us that the only debt that Christians owe to the family of God are spiritual debts. God is spirit, so we must worship God in spirit and truth. We were told in Romans chapter 8 that we owe nothing to the flesh, our own sin nature. Because what was the flesh ever done for us except get us into the hot water with God? That's why when we try to please God by living our Christian life in the power of our own flesh, it makes God sick to his stomach. And he spits it out and then burns it up as wood, hay, and stone. In the book of Genesis, when Cain tried to offer up a dead sacrifice instead of a living sacrifice, God rejected the offering and turned it into ashes. And because Cain's heart was not right with God, nor his brother, because Cain was trying to come to God by his good works, and Abel was coming only by faith in God. So out of anger and pride, Cain killed his brother Abel. So when God said to Cain, "Cain, where's your brother?" Cain said, "Why are you so concerned about my brother? Am I supposed to keep tabs on my brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to be concerned whether my brother lives or dies?" In the book of James, God gives us the answer. And the answer is yes. You are your brother's keeper, so long as it is in your power to help your brother. Give him everything he needs for life and for godliness. So let's open our Bibles today to the 14th chapter of Romans. And the 14th chapter of Romans is about principles of Christian liberty. And because we're always short on time, I'm only going to touch on that a little bit. But the two verses I'm going to concentrate on, I'm going to pick up from Mike left off last week. He did such a wonderful job on our debt of love to our human government. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But today we're going to give to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God is our debt to weaker Christians. And I'm only going to focus on verses 14 and 1 and verses 14 and 13. One talks about judgment and criticism, and the other one talks about being a stumbling block for your weaker brothers. 14:1 reads like this: "Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his children." Accept the one who is weak in faith. What does it mean to be weak in faith? It means to be weak in the truth. It means to be an immature Christian. What does it mean to be an immature Christian? It means he doesn't know how to love. And the reason he doesn't know how to love. It's because he has never been loved. The purpose of the ministry, like faith walk, is the building up of the body. Paul uses the word edify, which means to build up, never to tear down. Because the body matures from within. It must be nurtured with the true word of God. As each member ministers within the body of Christ. And speaking the truth in love is the secret of maturity. A few years ago, my pastor and his wife took a trip to Israel. And they were standing in a place where Jesus was born. So they joined hands together and were worshiping God the Father for sending his Son. When an Orthodox priest came over and slapped them on the hand and then walked away. So my pastor looked up at his wife and he said, "What was that all about?" And she said, "I don't know. It must have been a mistake." So they joined hands again. And they began to praise God again. And again the priest came over and slapped them on the hand. And he says, "You can't do that here. Because this place is sacred. And we must keep it holy." Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "You worship what you don't know." Genuine worship involves both fact and faith. Truth means you are to worship the right God. And what the priest was doing was worshiping what he didn't know. He was weak in faith, weak in the truth. And what he did know, what he didn't know, is what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. It's not where you worship. It's who you worship. So if your focus isn't on the home, the Creator, if every time you worship and give praise to Him and Him alone, then you will have no choice but to worship people, places, and things. Because you can't follow two masters. It's either one or the other, but it can't be both at the same time. And if you worship people, places, and things, if you're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator, then the creation can't teach you how to love. Because this creation is under a curse. And anything under a curse can't teach you how to love. It can teach you how to be judgmental and critical of others, but it can't teach you how to love. We have the freedom and the liberty to worship any way we want as the body of Christ. We can even criticize, but not in a condemning manner. Even constructive criticism given to help the weak become strong. Keep in mind that the mature Christian lovingly gives in to the weaker Christian, so that the weaker Christian will be kept safe and be allowed to mature. You must not allow the immature brother or sister to stay in the church. Paul's admonishing in the whole book of Romans is to help the weak saints become strong. so that we can accomplish. Verse 22. Verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in his brother's way, so that we can give God the glory that he deserves. Thank you for coming today.
I'm going to I'm Or what if you've been in the habit of teaching? How do you live? Think about those two questions together. And you know what I'm referring to. This is such a good question, because this is what the whole chapter is about. Receive money for. How do you respond or feel when someone questions or discounts, or let me add another thing, makes a statement that you disagree with? How do you do that? You want to start going ahead?
Thank you. If I were to take our time, but